everyone, and welcome back to the Braided Bookish Podcast. Today we are switching it up a little bit, and we are moving on to another Bronte sister. We are going to be reading Wuthering Heights. There's the sound that really messed me up there. But, we are going to be reading Wuthering Heights, and I am joined by Jen from In Her Good Books.
Hello.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
When did we record before?
Rebecca.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about it all the time on our podcast. Anytime we talk about Rebecca, we're like, yeah, we've talked about Rebecca for about 25 hours.
Iconically, I still have... So I don't know. I've definitely mentioned it, but when I first ordered it, I ordered based on the cover I saw.
Yes.
And it was I think it was in Spanish. Yes. And I still have it because it's beautiful.
It's okay. I have a Spanish, The Song of Achilles.
Nice.
But it was intentional. But
fair.
It was just, we like to collect The Song of Achilles.
Good book. Yeah. Really good book.
So good. I did The Song of Achilles with you as well.
Yeah.
That was the first time I recorded with you.
Oh, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, wow. I wish I didn't have the memory of a goldfish, because I'm like, what?
Yeah, you're like, what? I did The Song of Achilles. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was you.
But... No, it definitely was. Yeah. Now that I'm like talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I read it. Because it always takes me forever to read popular books. And then I'm like driven to it by someone being like, all right, you have to read it. At gunpoint, they're like, read it now. And that's how I read books.
That is exactly the way I get everyone to read The Song of Achilles, actually, gunpoint.
You know, it's fine. Just show up at my house and hold me hostage and just put the book in my hands. What else?
What else are you going to do?
Truly.
Plus, you're one of those freaky speed readers, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you have no excuse.
I know. It's funny because the podcast definitely slows me down because I'm taking notes while I read.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm looking at the page number, like the on the Kindle when you do like the minutes left in a chapter. And usually, like, I'm pretty consistent on the dot with what it gives or below, because I think it learns your speed or whatever. So yeah. I'm pretty consistent there until I'm taking notes. And then I'm like used to like the clock being the same time or just right about. And then it's like when I'm taking notes, I'm like, wow, this is taking a lot longer to get through.
Right. It's almost painful. Even when I was reading this morning, I hardly ever have time for physical books anymore. But mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm going to sit down and reread these chapters with my eyeballs to be fresh. And I was like, man, this takes forever. I'm so used to doing audio now that to actually read five chapters of a book, I was like, all right, that took... Well, at least an hour.
Yeah, I usually do. I've been like heavily relying on audiobooks now. And then I have a book I read on my Kindle at night. Mm-hmm. And I switch between the two. I hardly ever do like a physical copy of a book just because it's like I have four jobs and it's not really manageable anymore. So,
that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah. It's fine.
I think you had two the last time I talked to you.
Probably. I don't think I've ever just had one, to be honest. Let's get in to this book, because we are five chapters in, and I have some thoughts, and I have some opinions, and I'm excited about it.
I should say that I approached Rachel about this because I reread Wuthering Heights last month, and I was like, I need to talk to someone about this. I am desperate, but nobody else I know cares. And I looked for other podcasts where someone was discussing it. I only found one where there was like two dudes.
No.
And yeah, they did fine, but they didn't get it. They did not get it. And then I thought, no, definitely it's going to be done on Barely Bookish, definitely. And then I looked and I was like, I'm not seeing it. I messaged her and I was like, yep, you've got to do this. You absolutely have to. I'm desperate.
I've had this on the list for so long. And like, I have like a running list of things that people are like, what do you want to talk about? That I send them. And I'm like, feel free to pick your favorite book, whatever you want to do, or choose off the list. And no one chooses off the list, which is fine. Which is fine. I've gotten a lot of really good books that way. However, I'm not getting through my TBR. And this has been, I am trying to figure out where I heard this, because I definitely, this is one of those books that I was reading another book, and like the main character, this was her favorite book, and I was like, I've got to read it. It was something like that, I think.
I've read a book recently. I've read a book recently where it was her favorite book, and I can't remember which one it was, but maybe it was the same. Although I do hear it, I do see it referenced often.
Yeah. Because I don't know any context. You know me. I don't read summaries. I don't know what this book's about.
I also don't. So yeah. I always get into a book and I'm like halfway through and I think, what the heck? What is this? And then that's when I read the summary to see if I even want to read this book or not.
Fair. Fair. I think it's the best way to do it. Let's get into this.
Okay, yes, yes.
I feel like we're going to have so much to talk about.
Okay, go for it.
So chapter one, I love that we are immediately thrown into a time frame. They're like, it's 1801, and I'm like, perfect. I don't need to have the Rebecca problem where I don't know what year this book is. Do we have carriages? Right. Do we have automobiles?
Yeah.
So we know right where we're at. We find out that our narrator is Mr. Lockwood, and he apparently moves in the middle of nowhere. He like just decided, he's like, you know what, one day I'm gonna just go be manic pixie dream girl and live in a forest.
Yes. I kept looking for some reason as to what he was doing there. No idea.
It sounds like he just basically let a girl on and then was like, actually I hate you, and like secretly I love you, but like I hate you. And she was like, okay, I'm gonna leave then. And he's like, what? That's all I'm getting.
Yes. Oh my god, it's perfect. The whole time I'm picturing was it Nick Carraway from The Great Gatsby, I think that's the narrator's name, played by Tobey Maguire in The Great Gatsby movie. That's him. He's just kind of like a little bit of like a wiener. But like, he's okay. But like, I do like Tobey Maguire. But like, that's the character that I'm picturing in my head.
I love Tobey Maguire every single time he like spots people taking photos of him. Like, have you seen that? Where he's like,
no.
Oh my gosh. So he's like, I'm really, obviously the paparazzi like really bullied him a lot. And like, cause a lot of problems, but he can pick a camera out of like a crowd and he'll just go in on it and stare directly into the camera, and it's my favorite thing. Anytime the videos of it,
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you got it. It's gonna give you a good laugh. So whenever I think of him, I just think of the face he makes whenever he spots a camera.
Yeah. Is it a good face at least, or bad?
No, it's like an angry
awesome.
It's so funny. But we find out his landlord is Mr. Heathcliff. So that'll be fun to say.
Over and over.
Over and over. Which we'll talk more about him in a minute. Because
he's interesting.
He's something. Everybody in this book is interesting. Let's start there.
It's complete drama. It's insane.
Oh, it's like, have you ever watched Vanderpump Rules?
No.
Like, it's just trashy reality TV that I'm obsessed with. Like, you get one, you never get an episode without drama. That's what I'm getting here. That's the energy I'm receiving.
I believe it.
Like a Housewives episode, you know?
Yes.
So we find out that Wuthering Heights, is it Wuthering? Because I feel like that's like not pronounced correctly.
Wuthering.
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 Wuthering. Okay, Wuthering. We'll just say it with like a British accent.
Yeah. Oh, Wuthering Heights. Just mumble it a little bit.
I just didn't know the heights. So, I love how early we got the title of the book. Beautiful. Yeah. As we should. It's my favorite moment in a book when they say the title.
Yes.
So, we get a full visual tour of the house, in which we find out there's a ton of paintings. But it also sounds like a bachelor pad and it is not clean. Like, you were also getting that impression, right?
I'm getting, like, kind of like Game of Thrones house, where it's like medieval times.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be like a manor house, so it doesn't really match in my head.
I feel like I'm getting like the rooms where people are entertained are very nice and tidy, but then like you look back that single layer and you're like, what is happening back there?
Yeah, and they're not wanting to entertain anybody, so they're bringing people directly into the crazy filth.
Yeah, I feel like they've got the foyer, which is clean, and one sitting room, and then everything else is like a family with like 17 toddlers, you know. Oh, it's just God. Like everything's everywhere.
I have two toddlers. You only need two for that to be the case.
You know, but I think the plan was for them to divide and conquer, but then they just got overpowered. So.
Yeah, yes.
So apparently his mother said to him that he would never have a comfortable home. And he says that after last summer, he's unworthy of one. And I was like, oh, what happened?
Drama.
Scandal. So this is going into what I was saying earlier, that apparently he had a crush that he was just like outrageously rude to, and then she departed. She was like, we're gonna move and leave then if you're not interested, I guess. And he's like, good, do that. And I think he was hoping for an enemies to lovers arc, and she just thought they were enemies and he left.
That's so awkward.
Yeah, she didn't want anything to do with his drama.
No, so instead he moved to the most drama-filled place he could find. It's perfect. Yeah,
he literally tried to go into the woods and has one single neighbor 4 miles away and still seems to be involved in an obscene amount of drama.
Well, but it's because he shows up uninvited. Yeah. He's just like, I am here. And they're like, please leave. And he's like, I will not. I am staying.
Literally. He's just like, the whole family's like, we hope we don't see you anymore. We rented this house, like that house over there to you, but like, you don't need to come over. And he's like, but I'm already here.
I may as well stay the night.
So, he's chilling in a chair, and then the like lord of the manor guy, Heathcliff, is like, I'll be right back. I'll go get your keys for your house, I guess. And he's like, okay. And then all of the dogs are like, hey, new person. And he's like, they're attacking me. Oh my God. Like, and the guy's like, did they bite you? And he goes, no, but they were everywhere. And he's like, they're dogs. They are dogs. Which,
chill, Lockwood, chill.
Yeah, so funny. So then we are on to chapter 2. 4 miles away, and he's like, that's a casual quick walk. Which I'm like, is it?
It's really not. It's kind of far, you know.
I just, you know, for me, it's like 4 miles to go to the grocery store, and I wouldn't walk that.
No. I mean, I guess if that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
And you have nowhere else to be or go. But also, the end of the 4 miles isn't a friendly friend.
No.
It's someone who kind of hates you, so why?
It's like if you were like, oh yeah, you could either walk 4 miles to go to prison or you could just stay home.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'll just stay here, actually. I think I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine if I never leave my house ever, so I guess that's me, but...
Same. Like, sometimes I just don't see daylight, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I'm a vampire.
After about a week, I do need to... Yeah, after about a week, I need to, like, step outside for a second and do, like, a little spin, and then I can go back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Give my, like, week's dose of vitamin D.
Yeah. Yeah, I only need a little bit. I'm not, like, one of those other freaks that needs... daily
like
access.
An aloe plant, you know.
Yeah.
Just put me in the corner where a light beam is slightly on me for like 30 minutes and then I can go away. Yeah.
Yes.
So I will say I do hate the way they convey the servant accents in this.
Oh my god,
it's awful and I cannot understand what they're saying.
No, I get like the gist. Like, the overall tone, basically, is all I can understand.
I started trying to say it out loud, and I couldn't figure out how things were pronounced.
No.
And it's like, I'd rather you just say, like, write out what you're trying to say, and then, like, say, says with a thick accent or something. Like, do it that way.
Yeah. Even
anything else.
I did listen to the audiobook of this last month, and the narrator did a really good job of the voice, but I still couldn't understand what they were trying to say coming out of her mouth either. Like, there's just no way.
So. I prefer if we didn't, you know?
Yeah.
That's, like my little gripe.
I kind of just skim over Joseph. His lines, because
I don't need to know.
Yeah, I don't need to try.
Religious zealot, religious zealot, religious stuff.
Yeah, and, that's all it is. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a Mr. Collins moment, and I've already read that, so we're good. So, I mean, Lockwood shows back up uninvited. Basically tries to break into this house.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're not answering the door. He's like, I walked 4 miles. And they're like, no one invited you. We specifically told you not to come. And he's like, jiggling my hand. Trying to get in.
See? Such a wiener.
It's so funny.
He's like, that's weird. They must not be able to hear me. And it's like, they can. They
he's
can
like
hear
breathing
you
on the glass. Oh my gosh. So like after he's like fully like opening windows, jiggling handles, get into this house, like one of the servants is like, okay, the lady's out back. Like if you're that desperate to get in that you're gonna like smash a window here in a second, you can go over there. And he like shows up and she's like drinking tea and he's like, hey, why didn't anybody let me in the house? And she it was specifically, you were not invited. Like, I don't know how many times you had to say it. You're not welcome.
And he's just like, oh, I'll sit down and have some tea. Thank you. She's like, were you invited?
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, I'd love tea. But were you asked to tea?
Yeah.
Like, get the hint, man.
And she's like drinking his cup and he's like, what are you, she's like out there drinking her cup and he's like, what are you drinking? And she's like, tea? And he goes, oh, I'd love some. And she's like, no. So funny. Like, I'm imagining, like, I don't know if your family was like this, but my family, we all have like very specific tea mugs. So they're like our tea mug. And then like we have guest tea mugs. Okay. And like everybody in the family has a tea mug. And then guests would come over and they, not knowing this system at all, would just grab whatever tea mug. And then like you're like a little uncomfortable because you're like, that's
actually mine.
Yeah. Like, my uncle would grab my dad's tea mug all the time. And it's like, no one ever said anything, but we're all just, like, staring at him. Like, that's wrong. And then, like, my dad has to grab his backup tea mug. And we're all like, no, that's no. The mug if your main mug is in the dishwasher mug. Like, yeah. No.
It's embarrassing. People just don't know.
But I'm just imagining that she's like, we only have the three mugs. You can't use any.
You cannot use Heathcliff's. Come on.
He's going to take your keys away. So, at this point, they say that this is Mrs. Heathcliff. And I was like, oh, the wife's weird. But I guess that's what happens when you don't have a lot of social interaction, not like fully putting together that he's like actively not invited at this point. Yes. And then Lockwood's like, I can't believe they don't want me around. Just keeps me like, you guys are really rude and you're not being hospitable to me at all. Like,
no. I was just laughing and cringing the whole time. Yeah. It's so funny.
It's so funny. So Heathcliff then comes in the room and he's like, hey, I'm just gonna Lockwood's just like, hey, I'm just gonna hang out for like 30 minutes. And like, he looks at the window where it's like torrential levels of snow are coming down, like full blizzard. And he's like, if you leave, you'll probably die. Like, I don't really know how to break that to you. you can't go home.
He's also like, but you also can't stay here, so what are you going to do about this?
He's like, there's a manger out back. Jesus, actually. It's graded 5 stars on Yelp. It's better for you. It's fine.
Yes.
But yeah, he's like, no, that's probably not going to work. And then Lockwood's like, so should I just like stay here then? And they're like, no. And he's like, you guys are just so rude to me.
He's like, we don't have guest accommodations. He's like, well, I can just stay in this chair. And they're like, no, you're some strange dude. You're not just going to be hanging out in my house while we're asleep.
They're like, what are you going to do, like, roam free in the night? Like, no.
It's like, well, then one of you are going to have to walk me home. It's like, what? We didn't ask you to come here. Like, we are not going to risk our lives to take you home because you are stupid.
Literally. And then they're like, he's like, I guess you can stay with, like, one of the boys that live here. And he's
you
like,
can sleep with either Joseph or, what's his name, Harrington.
Yeah. Like, funny. I'm just imagining it's like a bunk bed situation. He's like, you can pick. They both snore, so do with that what you will. And he's like, yes. I can't believe this. And I'm just imagining that he's like looking around this house, which is a huge manor, by the way. Assumably, like, probably at least 6 bedrooms. And he's like counting, you know, he's like, so if there's 4 of you. And one of me. Yeah.
Like, there has to be somewhere. It's like, no. Seat's taken, no. Man.
Like, that's, you know, the peeing bedroom. That's, you know, the room we use for napping. So everything's taken.
Yeah. Sure, the dogs have a room.
Yeah, each of the dogs actually have their own bedroom. Yes. Not to be shared.
No. Absolutely not.
So we find out that Mrs. Heathcliff is the daughter-in-law, and I don't think Mr. Heathcliff likes her that much.
No.
Like, I don't think he actually likes anyone, to be clear. No, literally.
He only likes one person who you have not met yet.
Okay. I think he likes the ghost, so.
Yeah, I mean, that may be connected.
Okay.
All right, cool. But yeah, Heathcliff is not friendly.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. He's a on-site kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the dynamic keeps getting weirder. I'm having a very, like, I'm going to have to draw out our family charts here soon. That's, it got a little complicated, but it's fine. We're rolling through it. They will probably be scratched out soon, though.
It gets complicated.
Okay, I should probably just start the family chart now.
Yeah, we should start making notes about who's who. People share names and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's the hard part with a lot of these like older books is they don't give the first name until like the end,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, I can't go with the entire family line all having the same name. I need a little variation here.
Yeah, they didn't have very many names back then, I guess.
Yeah, it's either only... George, you know, John. Yeah. That's about it.
Pretty much, Heathcliff apparently. Actually, all the male names in this book are all more interesting.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So we find out that the guy that the daughter-in-law is with now is not Heathcliff's son. His name is Harrington Earnshaw. Strong name. Also, I guess the girl's practicing witchcraft, or she's just saying that to Joseph. I'm not sure and not clear. But either way, she's girl bossing here. I love it. Yeah. I love all of the like roasts that happen in this book. Like at some point, gets called an imp of Satan. Peak. Good.
I somehow missed that, but I believe it.
Yeah, it's in... It's in Mrs. Dean's recap chapter.
Okay,
so, yeah, very good. I feel like I need to pick up some of these because they're very funny.
Yeah,
and I love them.
Well, and all the characters hate each other, and they all are not secretive about it at all. They're like just right to each other's faces. You're the worst. I hate you. What are you doing in my house?
I love it so much. It's so much better to me than like passive aggressiveness.
Yes.
This is ideal.
Yeah, straight aggression.
As it should. So he's like, I can't believe you guys are gonna make me share a bedroom. He's like, I am insulted. I'm gonna walk home. And everyone's like, you're gonna die. And then he's like, no. And he like storms out into the snow. And then like Joseph watches this happen, calls the dogs on him. The dogs literally just knock him over, basically just like going to like lick his face. And then he falls ill and goes to bed.
Yes.
So good. And then we're on to chapter 3. So he gets put in the haunted bedroom.
It's just a strange bedroom too.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a weird bed chamber in there, but it's described as like a room with like a room inside the room that just has a little couch in it. Yeah. With two windows. It's bizarre.
It's a weird setup. And everything's covered in like mold and mildew. And he's like, yeah, I'll just sleep in here.
It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
He finds some diaries, reads them.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever had this issue, but like when I recently moved, I decided to vacuum seal everything that was fabric based, which creates the weirdest like mildewy smell.
Oh no, really?
Ever. Yeah. I don't know if it was just like something was a little damp. I don't really know what happened, but lots of like weird wet dog mildew smell. So I can't imagine sleeping in a bedroom that smells like that all the time. That's awful.
Terrible. Yeah. Probably better than dying though.
Yeah. I mean, by how much, right? Like, so... He goes and, like, finds on the windowsill the name written over and over. So it's Catherine Earnshaw. then it became Catherine Heathcliff, and then it became Catherine Linton. So that's something. But it's like, why does she keep going up there to like re-scrape it?
Why is it? Yeah. Like, I guess it's kind of maybe the equivalent of, you know, you're all, you know, writing your names and hearts in your binder when you're in elementary school with you and your crush. But I feel like if you're scratching it into the wood of your bedroom, it's a little bit more work.
Yeah, a little stranger, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I think of those kinds of scenes, I always think of, have you seen the Shrek movies?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know when she's like, Mrs. Fiona Charming, Mrs. Fiona Charming, Mrs. Fiona Charming. Like, that's what I always like think of in my head, is that moment, like the monologue thing. So that's the energy I was getting. He like sees these books. He's obviously reading by candlelight. Like, he sees the books and he's like staring at them. He's like staring at the thing, the windowsill with all the names on it. And he like starts to fall asleep a little bit and wakes up because he almost catches the room on fire. He's like, oh my god.
Like, he would.
He would. Yeah. Not surprising. So then he's like, okay, well, I guess I can't go to bed because that almost happened. So I'm gonna read this girl's diaries instead. Which, you know, next logical step, obviously.
Obviously, especially when you're in a house of someone who hates you, doesn't want you there. Immediately read their diaries.
Yeah, just violate their privacy, you know, as one does.
You're definitely not supposed to be in that room in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that he was fully snuck into this room and was like, don't tell anybody you're in this room. And he's like, okay, heard. I'll just be quiet. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, but instead I'll almost light a fire.
You know. Whoops. Seemingly the most precious room in your entire house, I will just accidentally burst into flames. He opens the diary, starts reading, and giving us all the hot goss that he's discovering, which, thank you. So, in her diary, she describes Hindley, who is watching over them while their father is gone, and he's, like, straight up abusive. And I was like, oh no. Which this did not connect until the next chapter, which we'll get into.
Yes.
So, she ended up getting beat so bad she couldn't even lay her head down on the pillow. And then I was trying to figure out if she's, like, friends / married to Mr. Heathcliff, or, like, what's going on there. We'll get there, I guess.
I'm still
very confused on this dynamic.
It'll come in the next, episode, we'll get into Catherine and Heathcliff, for sure. But, yeah, they keep it under. Yeah, we'll get into them in the next episode. Oh, I was just gonna say that they really, like, they keep it under mysterious lock and key for the first little bit of the book. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta start that family tree with, like, a lot of question marks in it.
Yes, who is this? Who is this? And who is this? And why do they have the same name or very similar names? Or the same first name, different last names?
Yeah. Like, I gotta do, like, crossing out of names, too. So, after he's violating this woman's privacy, who may or may not be dead, not clear. Seemingly probably no longer with us for the fact that all of her books are covered in mildew. But, I mean, I have books covered in mildew because I got them secondhand. So I feel like it's not a definitive answer.
No, it's not. No. But so, maybe it is.
It could be. TBD.
Yeah.
So he stops reading, climbs into the mildewy bed, which I don't think they actually said it was mildewy, but the books are, and the whole room seems to be kind of gross, so I'm going to assume that it is.
Yes, I would assume.
Yeah. So he starts, like, acting almost possessed, because we weren't clear that it was a nightmare, because he's like, yeah, and then I started walking home, and I'm like, oh. So... he keeps, like, dreaming about the name Catherine. can't, like, not very clear what's going on. And then he just wakes up, like, screaming. Absolutely blood-curdling screaming.
Yeah, another then, way to keep it on the down low that he's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. And then, you know, Mr. Heathcliff comes up and he's like, why are you in here? And he snitches immediately. Oh, he's like, oh, your servant? Her name is blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Immediately just let me in here, you know. No problems.
Yeah. imagining being Heathcliff and just being like, oh, he's gone. And then just finding him in my, screaming. Like, screaming in my, I don't know, maybe my dead wife's bedroom. That's
maybe dead wife, maybe dead sister, can't tell.
Yeah, don't know.
Don't know.
I mean, no. I know, but I'm pretending I don't, so it's okay.
It's fine. I don't know. I'm not clear. I mean, I assume they have different last names. I think these are last names. Yes, they're last names. So I'm guessing that, well, they are friends.
Heathcliff doesn't have a last name. He's just Heathcliff. Oh. And they said something like, oh, I think it's in the next chapter. She mentions that Heathcliff, just like, I don't know. She said somebody's name, like Jesus or something, where it's just like, that's just their only name.
I'm just getting very confused. So I feel like I'm wrapping my head around now, going through it again, who these people are. So it'll make more sense, like, when I'm talking through the next chapter. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, now we're like, getting it compacted. Things are making lining up more now.
Yes.
Lots of H names is the problem.
Yes, yes.
So, Lockwood's like, I don't want to sleep in this room anymore. And he's like, okay, like, you aren't supposed to be in here anyways. So, he's like, also, you're already in here. And there's no other bedroom, and there's like 3 more hours until sunrise, so I'm not letting you sleep in anybody else's room. So you can either sleep here or not.
I think he said, Heathcliff said, you can go to my room and leave me alone in this room.
Oh, did he?
And I was like, what, Heathcliff? You don't give him your room now. Tell him to get out.
Yeah. Tell him to leave. Yeah, and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna go, like, walk in the garden, I guess, for a couple hours, and till the sun comes up. And Heathcliff's like, yeah, you do that, then. Okay, bye.
And then, so then immediately Heathcliff starts having, like, a meltdown.
Yeah, he's, like, screaming, crying. He's, like, telling Catherine to come in. Like, he's like, one last time, I just want to see you one last time. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh no. Meanwhile, Lockwood is like, hee hee. Look at the drama.
He's just like got his phone out recording.
Yeah. He would.
Popcorn already in the microwave. Yes.
He carries one around ready to go in his pocket.
He's got one of those like portable popcorn makers. He's like, well, I eat so much that, you know.
Yes.
You ever seen those like to-go smoothie things where it's like battery operated? It's like a little blender.
Oh yeah, perfect.
That for popcorn.
Yes.
It's like, that's just single serving size, you know. I just eat so much throughout the day that it just makes more sense to make one serving at a time, you know.
Yeah.
So after a while, Lockwood's like, all right, I'm kind of bored of walking around outside and it's cold out here, so I guess I'll come inside. And he like goes into like the family room, the living room, whatever, the foyer, I don't really, sitting room, I guess,
yeah, something like that,
the room where everyone's chilling. He walks in and like Heathcliff, I guess, attempts to slap his daughter-in-law, and his daughter-in-law is like, I swear I will murder your entire family if you even consider doing that. And he's like, okay.
Yeah,
the dynamic, like, is so interesting.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah. So Heathcliff ends up walking him home because he's like, you're literally never gonna find your way home everything's covered in snow. And like, Lockwood's not that appreciative at all.
He's the worst. He's
like, yeah, as he should.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like mad too, like something like, you know, I come to your house and you don't give me accommodations, and then I get haunted by your ghost in the night, and like, what kind of place is this? It's like, what?
So funny. Like, he's very much like that friend that's like, oh yeah, and then I'll drive you guys home, and then he's like, actually, you guys have to Uber, I don't feel like driving anymore. And you're
thanks.
Okay.
And kind of like, what's funny with him too is the only purpose for Lockwood is to get the story. Like, he is the driver of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're getting everything from his point of view, or from the next chapter we go into someone else's point of view, but it's all from the outside looking in at this Wuthering Heights house. Mm-hmm. And other than that, he has no purpose other than to make me laugh and to annoy Heathcliff.
I'm obsessed. I love that it's like, he's not like a Nick Carraway that's like helpful to the story.
No.
He's like very much a hindrance. Yes. And everyone does not want him around. Like, Gatsby really wanted Nick around.
Yeah.
Mostly because Nick means Daisy, but like also he liked annoying Nick, I think. Like, he just wanted a friend.
Yeah.
And this one, everyone's like, please, please, no, don't come here. Leave.
I love it though.
Me too. I've recently learned that I kind of like mockumentaries. Like, I got really into What We Do in the Shadows.
I have not seen it.
I'm a big, I mean, at this point, I think it's pretty obvious that I love gothic stuff. Like, I like gothic literature a lot. I'm a big vampire nerd. So it's a mockumentary about a bunch of vampires living together in Staten Island.
Nice. That's hilarious.
And it's, please watch it if you can. Don't
I might,
let your
yes.
kids, don't
okay.
let your kids watch it. Like, I think episode 2 is about an orgy. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nighttime show for sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You're like, all right, everyone, get to bed, lock doors. Okay. But it's really funny. But this is, to me, feels like almost mockumentary-ish.
Yeah.
In a, like, weird turn of it.
Yes,
so
I can
very
see
much
what
enjoying
mean.
This. Yeah. So, he gets home. And all of his servants are like, hey, we thought you died.
We thought we were going to have to go and look for your remains. They wouldn't have been able to find them. He would be covered in snow until spring.
Yeah. Just be like, oh, yeah. Remember that guy we used to work for? There's frozen remains. All right.
Yeah, he was only here for one day. And then he died.
Like, I also love that it seems that he only has the two servants, which is funny to me. Because it's like, I am kind of assuming that he also has like a decently large house, but I don't think that's actually true.
Yeah, I think that, well, and the house that he lives in is called Thrushcross Grange, I think.
Something like that.
And it's like the nicer, bigger house, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
So he should have more, he would need, I'm sure, more than what he has.
Maybe it's one of those things where it's like, those are the scene people. And like, everybody else in the background is just like,
oh yeah,
you work here too.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Below Deck?
No.
That's fair. It's a Star Trek animated show about like everybody else that actually does the work on Star Trek.
Oh, really? Nice.
It's not like the main captain crew.
Yeah.
Also a very good show. I'm putting out some very niche references for you today.
I need to know. So
I don't watch much TV, but what I do watch is very like niche down. So like, I just got into like, I watched Bridgerton when it was like really popular, like the first season.
Yeah.
But I kind of forgot they were coming out with Queen Charlotte, and I was trying to find something to like listen to on Netflix, and I was like, ooh, so now I'm watching that.
Yeah, it's good. I like that.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. But I know it's like so lightly based on reality, like barely. So I'm trying to figure out, like, was King George crazy? Like, I don't actually know.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I need to look that up later, because I was trying to figure out like what could have happened to him. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I remember
basing this on.
I looked it up while I was watching it. I can't remember what it said, but he did have something.
Okay, I'll look it up and I'll find out.
He did get these kind of treatments and stuff. So, yeah,
awful.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yikes. Anyways, chapter 4. I think we can get through we can get through chapter 4. So he's like, okay, after my long walk, I don't really want to go to bed yet, but like I kind of just want to chill. So like, hey, Mrs. Dean, my servant, hot goss. And I love that like she doesn't want to open up right away. She's like, oh yeah, it's just, you know, your landlord. And that's just him. And then he's like, I mean, come on. but like, come on. Like,
then she's like, oh, I'm going to go get my sewing and then I'll sit down with you and I'll let you know what's up.
I love that she had to do something with her hands.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, well, Heathcliff's son is dead and he's a widow, which now we're like starting to piece things together here. So we find out that Catherine Lytton, which is the last name she had, her nephew is Hareton Earnshaw. Lots of H's.
Yes. Yes.
So Hareton Earnshaw is the guy that the daughter-in-law of Heathcliff is married to now, I believe.
Maybe.
I think. Not very sure.
I'm not even very sure.
Yeah. I feel like I need to like cite my sources when I make this family tree, because jeez.
Yes. Hareton is yeah, Catherine's brother's son. I don't know if he's married to the other one.
I thought he was, but I feel like it was such a throwaway line that I need to double check.
Yeah.
So could or could not be, we are not sure.
Not sure.
Mrs. Dean then like launches into this full backstory, and she's like, so Heathcliff's dad, maybe dad, definitely Catherine's dad, but like also it seemed like Heathcliff was always there, so like I can't, no, yes, Heathcliff's dad, who was also,
so Catherine's dad. Catherine and her brother, his
Hindley.
Name is Hindley,
yeah,
their dad went into town.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of bringing them back the gifts that they wanted, he brought back a homeless child, which was Heathcliff.
Which is Heathcliff.
Yeah.
Also did bring back the gifts, but they were absolutely destroyed.
Yes, so. They were. That's
true. So this is like when I started to get really confused, because I was like, she was telling it as this is Heathcliff's dad, which technically, yes, but like you had to have the backstory that he was like a random child he found on the road.
Yeah, basically kind of adopted.
Yeah.
Ish.
Which iconically is the way we did tell my sister that she was born. So.
Just found on the side of the road?
Yep, because she was blonde and the rest of us were brunettes.
Yeah.
But. He shows up with this child. Looks at his wife and he's like, the kid was starving. And the wife's like, what? Like, I'm imagining for the time, if your husband brings home another kid, that's another kid he had with another lady, you know?
Yeah, right. It's
very unlikely that he just saw like a starving orphan and was like, all right, come with me, kid, you know?
Yeah. Which, because later on, Catherine kind of described, like, they're talking about their father, and it's like, he wasn't super nice. He wasn't, like, the nicest dad or anything. So, no, he wouldn't be likely to be picking up orphan children off the streets.
Yeah. So, TBD on that one.
Yeah. But he said, they didn't say how old Heathcliff was, but they said he was old, kind of just old enough to be talking and walking, so it sounded like he was quite young. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe he did see a little toddler walking around and get upset, but
couldn't tell.
I don't know.
Don't know. So the whole family's like not into the fact that this kid's here. They're like, no, what if we didn't do that? And this child seemed to be getting all of the parents' affection. Like, was loved way more than everybody else.
Because everyone else were little shits.
Yeah, like, they're like, I can't believe that, like, dad doesn't love us. And then they're, like, actively being brutal to their father.
Yes. Yeah, and then Heathcliff is probably just really grateful to not be homeless anymore. So
he's like, oh, 3 square meals a day. This is great.
Yeah, I'll do anything you want.
Yeah. So Hindley considered his parents oppressors now.
So dramatic.
Literally. And then Heathcliff keeps getting beat up by Hindley, and then he got his horse stolen also by Hindley.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro. So then we're on to chapter 5. So continuing on with the backstory, Mr. Earnshaw in his old age is like, I don't like any of you except for Heathcliff. He is my favorite. And he will not hear a bad word about Heathcliff at all. Which I love. It's very iconic.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And then to the point where it's like his daughter, Catherine, is like, so mean, like very mean girl energy, and he's like, could you just like not do that? And she's like, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
And like Mrs. Dean grew up and was like their friends, so she's like he just didn't understand the way Catherine was. And I'm like, girl, no.
Well, Catherine, she says Catherine is like, from the minute she wakes up until the time she goes to bed, she's just like just going for it, and she's just one of those wild kids that's just like out doing wild stuff and being crazy and just, she cannot be controlled.
Yeah.
And then
sorry,
I was gonna say, she's like, oh, maybe you're gonna get to it, I guess, but
no, go for it.
For like a moment she's like being nice to her dad, her dad's like, I could die happy now.
Yeah. Dies. Dies. Literally. The only other note I have for this chapter is that Joseph starts like getting in the dad's ear here and starts like calling all of his bio kids the spawns of Satan.
Yeah, as they are.
Yeah. And everyone's like cool with that, I guess. And then yeah, so then the dad dies, and they were, like, chilling with his dead body, not knowing he was dead for a solid 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then they realize, and they're like, oh my god. And I'm like, oh my god, could you imagine? No, thank you. No, thank you.
I'll be throwing up.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No. But that is all we have for this episode. I can't wait to get into more of the drama. I'm just really excited about this book. This, everybody's dysfunctional and I love it.
Yeah, the next part is going to be the best. It's my favorite. Like this, the next section. I don't know what chapters we'll do, but it's going to be good.
Good. I'm excited. Do you want to tell all the listeners where to find you in your podcast?
So we are in Her Good Books. We are in Her Good Books. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at In Her Good Books Podcast. We do, right now we're doing bi-weekly book reviews of what we're reading. But we also do deep dive discussions on books, not quite as deep as Rachel does on the Barely Bookish. just one episode per book. But yeah, we like to go deep into books and then also talk about other bookish stuff. So
every time I try and do one episode per book, it never works out. I cannot, like the other podcast I have with Nova, Novel Nostalgia, she does most of the episodes and I tried to do literally one where I did not do a deep dive. And we were 50 minutes in and I was only like in the first 10 pages and I was like, I had to write all my notes and I need to highlight the parts I'm going to talk about because that's how I go too deep, too deep.
Well, there's definitely some books that we've done that have been like that. We're like, we've been recording for 2 hours. We should have broken this up a little bit.
Yeah. And when you go to edit 20 episodes of Jane Eyre. So.
Oh my god. That's amazing. Well, buckle up. Buckle up because it's about to get even more dramatic.
Oh, I love it. But we will catch you all right here in 2 weeks with another episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye.